Sunna means a healthy mind in a healthy body and radiance. Sunna Wellness, the podcast, explores the world of modern wellness through relatable conversations with experts and thought leaders to inspire and empower you on your wellness journey so you can shine your light brighter. I'm your host, Kylie Jane. We're so glad you're here, Sunna Light. Today, we're talking to Mensa, founder of Today Well Spent, which is a company creating new mental well-being essentials for today's hyper-digital world. And we're going to be discussing the power of morning rituals and managing our attention for a day well spent and a life well lived. So welcome, Mensa. Super excited to have you on.
Glad to be here. Hi, Kylie.
So I thought we could just start off by you just telling us a little bit about yourself and your journey and what led you down the road of kind of focusing on these wellness essentials, as you call them, and today well spent, how you got all the way there.
Right. So I think if we're talking about the journey of wellness, it really didn't start until pretty late in my life. I was working in Milan in the fashion world. Both companies I worked for were startup environments, so not as cutthroat as those normal startup stories you would hear, but still, like, you know, long hours, very tense and packed to-dos on a daily basis. And at one point, I just decided to quit my job and went to Bali for a month. And that's when everything started officially, I would say, because actually I realized at some point, like even during my time in university and in Milan, a lot of people were planting seeds about wellness in me. Just I weren't able or ready to bloom yet. But in Bali, everything just came. I encountered a lot of people that taught me a lot of things. I really like started being interested in the whole concept of wellness. But then I got overwhelmed because it just seemed like I was so behind in the whole wellness journey. You know, I tried my first meditation and yoga sessions in Bali, and I was 28 at the time, 27, 28 at the time. So I just, you know, watching YouTube videos, listening to podcasts, reading books, and the overwhelmingness really came down on me. I was like, oh my God, there's so many things I have to practice. You know, I have to like incorporate a wellness routine to my life. So the morning routine, evening routine that I talked about, I have to do gratitude. Productivity is still a big part of what I strive for. So, because I was working on another startup at the time, I was like, okay, so I have to build in like a very productive routine to help me perform. But then at the same time, I've got to care about my inner world, my inner growth, my personal development. So how do I fit everything together? And that's when I started sharing notes with my co-founder, actually, when we were back in Shanghai. And we realized, like, you can learn about so many things. You can read, you can listen, you can watch. But if you don't practice, none of it matters. So what we really needed was tools to help us incorporate into those, to incorporate those practices into our daily lives, really on a daily basis. Because, like, the whole Bali trip for me was a huge tipping point, but it was also, like, a really big retreat. But how often do you get retreats, right? Especially for normal people. You're lucky if you can go away for a weekend without having to attend to your phone or anything work matters. So how do you cultivate that kind of environment and space for yourself on a daily basis is how we really started putting together the concept of Today Well Spent. You can hear it from the name. It's really about what you do today. Like, today is the only day that really matters, because if you don't set a solid foundation today, you don't have tomorrow. And what you did before today also matters, but it's you today that have to put all the things that you have done before to use and let go of the things that no longer serve you.
Incredible. And I love that, you know, like you said, it's what we do consistently that matters, and we only have the now. And that's obviously a big part or aspect around kind of being mindful. And I love the tool that you've created with Today Well Spent, because it's so unique in that it's not an app and it's not online, which is where a lot of tools come from, which can be incredibly helpful and empowering. But Today Well Spent is a journal, right? Or that's one of the one of your products. So what made you decide to go for a very physical tool as opposed to, you know, something that's online?
Right. Also started when I just first got back to China after living abroad for 12 years. So I was working in a very digital savvy environment when I was working in Italy, because the person I worked for was a social influencer, and about all of the things that we did were online. But still, I was just shocked when I got back to China that how people just buried their faces into their phones everywhere.
Yeah.
All the time.
No, right.
And I think it's because, first of all, like, the data is just so much more cheap, so much cheaper in China.
Right.
You don't hear about data plans.
True.
It seems like it's unlimited for everybody. And the signal, to be honest, work much better as well. Like in metros, you don't have lots of signal. In elevators, you can continue watching the TV series that you're watching on your phone, playing games. So that's what everybody was doing. And I was catching up with my friends that I haven't seen or spent time with for a really long time. And what they do is that they talk to me and they still look at their phone. And I just thought that was really ridiculous. And frankly, I was kind of like that as well, just not as severe, but looking at other people doing it made me realize how big of a problem it was for me. And I think for the society as well. Like you probably experience it too, when you cross the street, like people just look at their phone when they're walking.
Yeah.
Cars.
Yeah.
It's just ridiculous. I think the whole idea of it, we're just spending way too much time on the phone, and there's so many apps out there. And when we were just starting the tool, like there are, for example, journaling apps. There are apps that help you practice gratitude or affirmation, etc. But do you know how many apps you have to open in order to do, like, let's not say all the wellness practices you want to catch up on? Even just like 10% of it, you know, you can probably have 10 or 20 apps just for that, because you want to get, like, that's what the apps do. They want you to want more of the new things. Mm-hmm. We're like, okay, so we really need this tool, and we don't want to make it into an app, because what we really missed was the relationship between you and pen and paper. And when you're using a pen and paper, when you write down things, your brain is automatically in a very different state as opposed to when you pick up a phone and look at all the apps, aka all the options, aka all the distractions out there. How many times do we pick the phone, not remembering what we meant to do, and just get followed by a notification or something that's more intriguing or interesting? That happens all the time to all of us, even to me now. So it's like, okay, so if we want to really just inject the idea of, you know, having this personal space where you can just feel clear and calm, it's probably not going to be on the phone, where, like, you use the phone mostly to deal with work in China, especially, and entertainment, right? Like, when you're entertaining, you're probably not the most focus. Maybe you're happy, but that might not be the kind of clarity and calm that you're striving for in order to have a meaningful life. Maybe just, you know, like, take a little break from your work. So the phone is reserved for that, and we want to really stay away from it and create a third, like, a mini pocket where you can just exist, you can just be, you can organize your thoughts, you know, organize your day, really just get yourself together in order to deal with the distracted world out there, either digital or in reality, in real life.
Right. And you call it today's like attention economy, right? And this like respond right now environment. And it is, it's, you know, we're so, I know I speak for myself too. I'm like, my phone is either in my hand constantly, or if I leave it somewhere, like I know where it is, and you're aware of it, right? And it does, it can produce anxiety when you do open it to do something completely different. Like you said, maybe there are you know, wellness apps, and maybe I'm intending to do yoga, but then I see I have like X amount of emails and my adrenaline is up and I'm like, oh my gosh, I need to, you know, respond right now. And yeah, it can be anxiety inducing, which is like physiologically, yes, we're built for stress and stress can be a good thing. But when it's this like constant relentless output of stress, you know, it can impact us in so many other ways. And like you said, apps are built to keep you there. They're built to keep you entertained. People make money out of, you know, you viewing the content or using it. So I love that Today Well Spent journal it's a book and it's a journal and it's physical. And like you said, it has that, you know, we're writing, we have that kind of brain hand connection. And I know within your journal, you speak about something called attention intelligence, so AQ, which I'm really fascinated by, and I hadn't come across it before trying Today Well Spent's journal. So can you just tell me what is AQ? What does it mean? Why should we care about it? You know, how is it different to our traditional ideas of like IQ and EQ?
So the idea of AQ is built upon the concept that whatever we pay attention to shapes our reality. A lot of research that have shown that, you know, like there's so many things that's going on outside of our awareness, our attention, because we didn't pay attention to it, it's not part of our, let's say, inner system or our reality model, right? Yeah, so even that, like, I'm talking to you, but my brain is constantly scanning what is going on to a certain extent, right? But if I'm super, super hyper-focused talking to you, meaning that I am able to hold my attention in this conversation and nowhere else, I wouldn't have caught what was happening outside this room, but I did, because that's how our brain works, and I'm not perfect, right? So a lot of times what we do is like what I just did. I shut the door. So I block the noise, I block the distraction outside. So that's manageable distractions. But a lot of times there are distractions that goes within us, right? The stress that you talked about, the anxiety, the fight that you just have with your parents, your partner, your friends, your boss, whatever. They're going to stay in us and bother us for a really long time if we don't do something about it or don't have a mechanism to deal with it. And that kind of ability to shut distraction outside to say like, okay, I know I'm kind of feeling stressed about the fight that I just had, but I prefer and I choose to be more focused about the conversation that we're having now. So I'm literally pulling my attention from what I was thinking to what I'm doing right now. So this this pulling, this shifting, this control of how your attention goes, where your attention goes, is the attention intelligence we're talking about. And it's really an art. It's not as dry as like a skill, but it's definitely something you can acquire. But, you know, you don't want to only focus on one thing. That makes things really boring. So you still want to be aware and pay attention to all the things that are going on with you, outside of your current, let's say, doing. So this kind of, you know, like just, I think it's kind of like a dance. Like your attention should be able to dance and perform to give you the optimum experience that you deserve and you desire. So if you prefer to be really focused on work, you can. If you want just your attention to, you know, like taking all the beauty when you're outside, when you're in nature, you can as well. So it's really a push and pull relationship. And by doing that, you kind of like exercising, like how we do reps in physical exercises. You're exercising your attention ability, AQ, in this sense, so that you're more in control. Because really the world is, like we say, pay attention, right? They really want us to pay our attention to whatever they're doing so that they can benefit out of it.
Right, right. So it really is putting you back in the driver's seat, because oftentimes, like you said, when you're distracted or you feel like you're being pulled in, you know, 100 different directions, you can kind of go like maybe minutes or hours or even like days or weeks where you're just like, wow, what did I do? What did I actually achieve? What happened this week that is contributing to my wellness or contributing to my goals? So like you said, it puts you back in the driver's seat so that you can have that focus again. And like you said, we're, you know, physiologically, we're built to analyze our environment. So of course we're going to be alert and aware, right? And have that consciousness of what is happening around me, because I need to survive, right? I need to know, what was that noise? Is it a threat or is it okay? Is it my neighbor's door closing, right? So
yeah, my cats hearing each other.
Right. Should I be worried? So we do, of course, need to be, like aware of our environments and what's happening, but it's this like hyper awareness that is to our disadvantage sometimes, right? And something else I wanted to touch upon was, you know, like you said, it's this dance, right? And it's this balance between being aware and being aware of our environments, but also understanding, you know, what we can do and what we think we can do, right?
Right.
So finding that relationship with what is possible, because I think there is a lot of pressure on us to be these like superhumans doing a million tasks at once, and we're not really, really built for that.
Right.
How do we shift using these tools? And maybe you can also just explain a little bit more about the journal and how it's laid out. But how can we shift from this idea of, I have a million things to do on my to-do list, finding that balance of, it's okay if I only focus on, you know, one thing today.
Right. The one thing model that you mentioned is, which is included in our journal, is that we want people to get into the mentality that by simply listing out a to-do list is not productive. Rather, it could be stress-inducing. Because yes, maybe for some people, you know, like dumping all the things that you have to do in a day on paper makes it, first of all, seem like you're a very busy and important person. And secondly, that you are already very productive, because the thought about, you know, just putting it down, listing it out, it releases a little bit of a dopamine, making you feel like you've actually done it. But truth is, we only have so many hours in a day. Sometimes we are just really bad at estimating like how long a task would take. So we tend to just believe that we're superhumans. We're superhumans wanna be. And at the end of the day, you realize you probably just did like 30% of the entire list, and you feel like a failure, you feel more anxiety, and the next day the same pattern repeats because you don't actually reflect on your failures or wins or anything. You just want to get it over with and start tomorrow all over again. So instead of that, we want people to just, when their mind is still clear, beginning of the day, to think about, what is that one thing that's really important to me today that I'm going to get done first? And only if I finish that, I'll start other tasks. There are two folds to it. One is that our brain can only focus on one thing at a time. When we multitask, what it really is doing is it's doing like just super quick shifts between different tasks. So you can imagine our attention bouncy ball just going all over the place. That's very energy draining for our brain. And that's just not how our brain works. So why, if you have limited amount of energy, we're talking about like physical brain energy, why would you want to waste it on bouncing around? Instead, you can just focus it on like a one main thing. So we want people to reserve their energy and follow the way their brain, our brain really works, and just do one thing first. And secondly is when you think about that, when you spend time on prioritizing, you are actually asking yourself, right? What is important to me? Is it work?
Right.
Yeah. Is it this type of work? Or is it something maybe more personal? Because the one thing area, it's not just for productivity per se. Like you can put your most important work-related activity there, but you can also put like spending time with your family, because that could be the most important thing for you today. And by doing that, you'll feel better so that you can do other tasks or activities or work better. And that's the whole idea about our attention intelligence system, is that only by feeling better, we can do better. And the feeling is physical and emotional. And when we do better, it also acquires a lot of mental state, like the whether or not our mental clarity is in check, whether or not we are stressed at a healthy amount, so our adrenaline push us to do what we have to do, and instead of going to overdrive and kill us. So
right.
So that's basically how our journal is set up on a daily basis. We have the one thing, but with that, you have to still take into consideration, like, am I doing my self-care routines? Did I do a gratitude practice to prime my mental state to be optimistic and to feel that I can actually do what I set out to do? Am I reviewing my priorities? Am I viewing, like, setting my time according to, you know, the importance of things that I have to do today as opposed to how long they will take? Or am I at the end of the day checking in with myself on a daily basis, like, how did I do today? Let's think about the good things I did today, and let's maybe think about things that I can improve the next day. And, you know, like, you're really building, I like to call it, like, you're laying down like Lego pieces to build this, whether or not a castle or the Great Wall of China or a spaceship or planet, whatever you desire to be, because we set up the foundation for you to lay solid bricks, instead of, you know, like, we don't write like what is your dream, because I know a lot of journalists do that. I think it's important to think about like your big wild dream, but it's, you have to pull your attention to what you're really doing on a daily basis. And by doing that, you may realize your dream changes, and that's okay, because you still have a solid foundation that will lead you to whatever the new possibility and potential could be.
I love that. And that was something that I found so refreshing about the Today Well Spent journal, is that it wasn't just like an empty blank page. Like it incorporated so many, in a very simple, clear way, so many aspects that are important in our daily, you know, wellness routine. And it's kind of spread out kind of like a schedule, right? Like it starts from the morning, and then it's, you know, what's your one thing for the day? And then it has like an evening check-in, right? And what I also love about it, like you said, is it poses that question of what matters to you? What's important to you today? Which is something that we don't often ask ourselves, because we are just in this kind of scheduled life for many people who have like a corporate job, and it's structured, right? You get up at the same time every day, you check your emails, you go to work, and it's just kind of this routine existence for a lot of us. On top of, are you drinking your 2 liters of water? Are you like eating your green salads? Like, you know, the millions of to-do lists that we know we should be doing, which, like right. you say, can create those or facilitate the feelings of like failure. Or like, I see this a lot in my nutrition practice where it's very black or white, right? Like people feel like, well, if I had a slice of pizza for lunch today, well, that's it. Like I've just ruined the rest of the day, right? Instead of kind of compartmentalizing things to be like, okay, well, today, this is my focus. I'm going to nourish myself. It's the now, right? Going back to right. that idea of, I felt like that pizza, I had it. It's okay. I'm going to move on, right?
Right.
Instead of putting that kind of pressure on ourselves and kind of disarming that perfectionism or these expectations I think we put on ourselves of,
yeah.
you know, I am only worthy if I have ticked off all 10 things on my list
right.
or I did this. It kind of reframes our achievements or our personal achievements. What do I actually right. want today? What is going to, you know, serve me the best?
Yeah, that's definitely something that we have to think about all the time. And funny that you mentioned about the pizza thing. Yesterday, I had a conversation with a trainer, and he was just saying a lot of his clients go to him because they failed all the previous trainers, or the previous trainers failed them, actually, because they just couldn't do, for example, the no-carb or low-carb diet. And this trainer that was talking to yesterday, he was just saying, like, it's okay if you eat carbs because it makes me feel better. And our body actually, correct me if I'm wrong, our body need carbs, right?
Yeah, especially no, completely.
Carbs. But a lot of trainers, they want, like, quick results, and that actually puts them in a worse state than when they started, because yes, maybe they look better on the outside, physique-wise, but inside, like, mood-wise, they probably are pretty shitty and
mood, yeah.
God knows what's going on with their organs too.
I think in a lot of industry, we do want this kind of, like you said, this quick fix, right? And we're not looking at this, like, what is sustainable for me? What is healthy for me on a long-term basis? And I always ask people, like, they come to me and say, oh, I want to do keto. I'm always like, well, could you do this for the rest of your life, right? Mm-hmm. Is that, and I think, I mean, obviously we change and our bodies change and habits change, but a lot of our goals is what's going to be sustainable for you and what's healthy for you, right? And this idea of health and wellness and good and bad, right? A lot of the language that's come into it can be very discouraging for people. And then, going back to that idea of failure, of like, well, I could go carb-free for 7 days and now, well, you know, I'm going to have that slice of bread and I've ruined it. And kind of finding this, like, I like the word dance, getting back to like, what is nourishing for me? What can I do today that's going to serve me? So I want to ask with the journaling, so it's a tool, right? And is there a best practice in terms of like, when we do it, is it important to have, you know, a lot of people are talking about these morning rituals, right? You get up and you have that time to yourself and you have your coffee or whatever it looks like for you. But can that routine change your life? And is it important to do it in the morning?
If we're talking about like our attention journal, the recommended usage time is first thing when you wake up and before you go to bed. Depends on, you know, like how much you want to journal. You can also do like an hour before bed or just right before you go to bed, because the journal is really set up by morning sections, which includes gratitude, morning rituals, a check-up on like whether or not you picked up your phone immediately or 30 minutes after you wake up, because digital hygiene is really a big part of our brand pillars. The one thing that we just mentioned, we also recommend to do that in the morning, together with an affirmation that changes every day. And the reason is But for most people, like before you pick up your phone, your morning should be pretty peaceful unless you think about work. So if you can, let's say, have that attentional intelligence where you can pull your attention just to the morning moment instead of, you know, like worry about things that might happen, won't happen during the day, you should be in a good mood. And that's what we want people to feel like, because in order to do well in your day, to perform well, to have a today well spent, you have to feel well. And morning is the best time to prime that because your brain is still kind of fresh after a good night of sleep. And then we have the self-care section. Self-care section, some people do it in the morning because they plan, okay, today I will go to the gym at certain hours. I'll do my meal plan. I'm very intentional and careful about how I nourish my body. Some people might plan ahead. Some people might do that later. So the second half of the recommended usage time is before bed. So before bed, you can, the self-care section, you can do it like as a checkup. What did I do today? Instead of if you use it in the morning for planning. So you can also do that during the evening, because that kind of gives you an accountability. Like I was responsible for, you know, the food choices that I had. I did take up, you know, simple things like deep breath or meditation, because those are things I can do on a daily basis, and you don't have to go somewhere in order to do that. We can do that literally right now, right here. All it takes is deep breath, right? So by taking that, you kind of feel like, oh, okay, so today, like on the scale, on a scale of 1 to 5, I actually did something. So I'll give myself like a 3 or 4, right? So that gives you kind of encouragement on keeping this habit going later on. And then the very last is asking you how long you disconnected from your phone before you go to bed. So we also have a scale from like 5 minutes to an hour. And then we have the evening ritual parts. For the English version, we actually just left it free because we realized that people have different rituals. They want the page to be flexible. Because most people have their own practices. Anyway, so we have the evening routine. You can just remind yourself, like, did I do my set of routines? And then we ask you again, like, things that went well, things you did well, things you were grateful for before you go to bed. Then again, it's priming your brain to be more satisfied and content. So you can bring that kind of energy and mood into your sleep. And then last is asking you a quick ranking and giving you a score of how your today actually went, was completed. So it breaks down to different areas that covers the different sections of the journal. It's really important to give your day a closure and not just like, oh, okay, today I finished. It was good, it was bad. No, not that. We think that's not enough. You have to be accountable for, like, mood-wise, did you do enough to take care of your mood? Productivity-wise, like, break it down by priority and focus. Were you focused? Did you take care of your one thing, right? Because those are the things that you set out to do beginning of the day. So at the end of the day, you're gonna have that accountability so that you can actually have it as a today well spent. And by going back to what you were saying, like, even if you didn't do certain things, it's okay. Because when you flip over, it's the next day, it's the next page. It's the rest of tomorrow.
Yeah, no, completely. And like you said, it's that, you know, by giving yourself, having that check-in, rather that like end of day, you know, check-in and that positive reinforcement, I think is what really will feed the consistency. Because we thrive on that, the reinforcement or the feedback loop, right? And if it's positive, then we're like, okay, like I can do this, and it's not as difficult or overwhelming as I thought. And if I just have my one thing to focus on, and I've done it, you know, I've done it for 7 days. Wow, now I've done it for 14, and then it just helps to. It's really building habits. And I think that's the hardest thing for, you know, many people. We feel so busy, so distracted, so many things. And I just use food as an example again, because it's what I know. But same thing with clients. I'm like, you know, just choose, can you drink 2 liters of water every day for 2 weeks? That's all you have to worry about. Then once you've done it, it's like, okay, I can do that and make it, you know, it makes it easier for yourself. Then we'll move on to
right.
eating more greens or whatever it is. Like you said, building the foundations.
Right.
And the same thing with our attention. You have to start somewhere, but you get better at it.
Yeah, brain gets better at what you repeatedly do.
I mean, apart from helping people to cultivate these healthier habits, what do you really hope to achieve through today well spent?
I think what we really want people to understand is little things matter. Those little practices, like the 2 liters of water that you just mentioned, they matter. And it's your choice to decide whether or not you want to incorporate that into your lifestyle. Because it's really about the way of how you think and how you behave on a repeated basis that will give you the results that you desire or not desire. Because we're shaping habits every single day, all the time. Like whatever we do or don't do, both of them are habits, right? And going back to the one thing that you were talking about, I think it's so important to have a morning routine because I think I kind of stopped what I used to do and did what I always tell people not to do, which is going on the phone first thing in the morning. So I noticed an instant, a very immediate and obvious shift in my energy and my mental clarity. So that's something that I have to stop doing. But because I started doing it again, because I used to do that a lot before Today Well Spent, it was so hard to go back to, you know, just getting up, drinking my water, read something, do some yoga, you know, that's the ideal way. But once you've like fell off it, to go up is so difficult because what is hardwired at this moment is to go on the phone. That's easy for me. I can do that,
sure.
You know, anytime. But if I'm not doing that, it's just so hard, which is why they always say like it's hard to replace. It's hard to stop a habit. You can only replace a habit. And you've got to give them a bigger, better offer. So what is a bigger, better offer for myself? That's something that I need to figure out. And I think I have some clues. And that's something that we're trying to make into the maybe our next product. What is the thing that you can do in the morning that's going to get you more excited than going on the phone? Or you feel it's more important than going on the phone. I don't know if we will have the ultimate answer, but we can try. So I think those are the little things we want to know. Like, first of all, they're available. And second of all, we talk a lot about science because we believe science is the answer. Science doesn't know everything, but the smartest people are looking at them. And those are the things and the evidence that they have found and concluded and reached consensus on. So we're going to go with that as opposed to someone's
personal opinion.
But I believe like if we're preaching this, I want it to be solid. So today, while spent, we want people to know like those are the things that work. Those are the options that they can really trust on. They're very easy to do, right? Drinking water is easy. Making a bed in the morning is easy. Opening up the journal instead of the phone, not that easy. But if you do, you will feel the difference throughout your day, throughout your week, throughout your month, your year, etc. And really sticking with it. So they have to be easy enough and enjoyable enough that people say, okay, I want to do that because, you know, it's not, I don't have to go out of my way to go to a yoga studio and take like 2 hours out of my busy schedule to attend to that, right? What are some meditative movement that you can do standing up by your desk at the window, right? You want to try breath work, you don't have to pay ton of money just to try a physiological side, right? Like my favorite podcaster and he's a professor, Andrew Huberman, he talks about it all the time, right? Physiological side. Double inhale, one extended exhale. It's going to calm you down, right? When you feel stressed, you don't need to say like, okay, when is the next vacation that I'm going to book? You can do something about it that easy.
Yeah, right. So it is, it's making it more accessible. And I think in the in the world of wellness, you see a lot where, like you said, we're promised bigger and better things, but often the best things are either free or more accessible than we think. And maybe it's because, you know, they seem so simple, but it is backed by science. Like, we should be drinking, you know, at least whatever, 2 liters of water a day, because it's backed by science and our body is built on water. But it's it seems so simple because, you know, the next shiny new thing comes along promising you, like, I don't know, if you take this pill, you're going to look like this in 2 weeks. So the drinking water seems really bland and boring, but it is, it's kind of making it enjoyable and you will feel better. I think that's the thing. If you try it and you stick with it and you feel the results, that's going to motivate you to kind of continue. The same thing with switching out your phone. It sounds, you know, difficult, but if you're able to kind of replace that with something that really does like fuel and nourish you, and you walk into your day feeling that way, it will just help you help you live better. And also, so you mentioned the digital hygiene, and sleep is something that is so important to me, and one of the pillars that I really try to incorporate into Sana. And obviously the digital aspect and digital hygiene and sleep hygiene, it definitely overlaps. So what are your recommendations in terms of, should we be sleeping with our phones completely out of the room? I know on Apple, I use it, not always very successfully, but the kind of screen time. Yes. I'm like 15 more minutes, 15 more minutes. And yeah, but it does help because it kind of, again, it's putting something right. Exactly. It's a reminder. Yeah. It's like you had set this intention for yourself. So going back to that, like, intention and what you're trying to achieve, you had set this for yourself, you know, are you going to stick with it?
Yeah, exactly. It offers you a choice. How you choose is up to how you feel and what you're doing at the time. But at least the choice is there, as opposed to before. You if no one's reminding you, most likely you're not going to remind yourself and you just keep going.
Right. So that's like another nice tool. So yeah, do you have any other digital hygiene tools around? So obviously, like you said, giving yourself that time in the morning of like not picking up your phone, replacing it with maybe a more nourishing ritual. But is there anything else we can be doing with our phones or screens in general?
So a lot of things that we talk about for like attention intelligence, the ability to block out distractions. Right. So when we're working on the phone, the biggest distraction is the notifications. So I would definitely recommend to turn off notifications where you can. Like on my phone, apart from calls, I don't have any notification on, which is why my colleagues get really pissed at me when I don't reply messages promptly. But I just think, you know, if it's important enough, I'll take it to the computer. And I'll attend to it. I'll allocate time to it to deal with that specifically. And if it's something urgent, instead of using text messages to going back and forth, just call. Like a 2-minute call can probably save you 10 or 15 minutes of back and forth messaging. Because when you're waiting other people's reply, they also have to wait for you. It's just not very efficient. So turning off notifications being one. And I tried this. I know it worked for some people. It worked for me for a while. But I think it's worth mentioning is that just having two phones, one is your work phone and one is your personal phone. Because I think one thing that I really struggled with moving back to China is the invasiveness of work into your normal life. I don't believe in work-life balance. I think it needs to be a mix, but it shouldn't be chaos. It shouldn't be just like merged together. But because we use WeChat a lot for working, so you can imagine using WhatsApp or Facebook for work messages. It's just ridiculous. So I tried using a separate phone for like my work WeChat. It didn't work that well. Then it became two things I had to attend to. Then setting the time that, you know, it's allowed to push notifications out even on the computer. So during the work day, during the off hours, even when I'm on the computer, I don't get notifications on that. Really important. Just you have to set boundaries for yourself, because technology,
right.
They're just going to come in whatever way that they can. If you don't set boundaries, nobody's going to do that for you. Same as your time, right? Which is why we on our journal, we say, like, if you don't schedule your day, someone else will schedule your day for you. You got to take control of that.
That's true. Get back in the driver's seat. No, yeah, you're completely right. And it's boundaries. I think we've been primed, or we've gotten so used to this, like, respond right now and like, but I messaged you. And I think for our generation, maybe, or I know for me, calls have become really, like, if someone phones me, I'm like, oh my gosh, something.
Why?
Like, is everything okay? I'm like so worried. I'm like, but
yeah,
it is such, it's an efficient way to chat and communicate. And I think a lot of, like you said, time would be saved and back and forth would be just eliminated if we just picked up the phone and we're like, hey, what do you think of this?
Yeah, I do that sometimes. I just call people on the WeChat, and sometimes they miss it too, right? Hopefully because they listen to my recommendation to turn up their notifications. But afterwards, they're always like, what's up? Like, what's happening?
Are you okay?
And I'm just calling back. Some of my friends do, which I appreciate. But yeah, like for me, I guess it's a bit selfish. It's like, oh, I want to like check up on you or chat with you. But I guess maybe the more appropriate way is like, let's schedule a time for call. But I don't know, like I like the spontaneousness, you know, like especially with friends. To schedule a call with a friend is so, I think it's ridiculous.
I'm only available at this time, you know, in 2 weeks time for like 30 minutes.
we
have gotten used to that.
Going back to what you were asking, the third thing that I would recommend is I know there was a very popular trend about digital detox. So people like just stay away completely from their phone for like a day or a weekend or even a week. I think you would probably agree on that, because it really, like, you have to ask yourself when you do that, like, is it sustainable? It might make you feel better for a while if you don't have to worry too much about, you know, what's going on. Because I've tried that, and I was, like, the whole time very anxious. As an entrepreneur, like, work is always on your mind.
There.
Yeah. It's not like Monday to Friday, I can only think about work, and on weekends I don't. I do
right.
all the time. I think about work
constantly.
but it doesn't bother me because I like what I'm doing. For me, I think what's more sustainable is like having those micro detox moments, like the first thing in the morning before you go to bed, when you're eating, when you're with your friends. Those are really important. When you're working, put away your phone. I think the whole idea is that you have to understand technology is made for you. It's not made to destroy you. And that's like some companies might do certain things to steal your attention and want you to be addicted, but you let them, right? So if you don't want that to happen, don't let them. and you have to do that on a daily basis. I think digital detox retreats are fun to have because it's kind of a wake-up call. Like sometimes it makes you realize how addicted you are to technology, especially to your phone, and made you realize how healthy or not healthy your relationship is with your phone. One of our other products, which is a phone bed, it's a wireless charger. You put your phone on it. When you go to bed, your phone goes to its own bed, right? It's built on the idea that you should love your phone. Your phone does so many things for you, right? The phone is not the bad guy. The technology is not the bad guy. It's how we use it that really the relationship. So take care of your phone. Like it worked for you the whole day. You get to go to bed, and it needs to have a nice place to rest as well. And so the next day, you know, you can still be good friends. Good friends don't have to spend time all the time together all the time.
true. I love that. That's super fun. And it is, like you say, kind of reframing it, because I think we can get into this like, oh, like social media is terrible and it's, you know, bad for you. And, but technology is empowering, right? And it's given right. us the tools and ability to communicate and to create businesses and to, you know, it's lowered the barriers for so many things, but it does require, with great freedom comes responsibility, right? So technology right. has given us a lot of freedom, but like you know, using the word accountability and responsibility, it's on us to, we're not these passive machines that just have to consume, and just, we are in control. We can turn off notifications. We can choose to, you know, how and when we use it. And I think that's a really good and powerful reminder of, you know, you are in control. And, you know, I think that that was something that Today Well Spent also strives to do. It's like putting you back in that driver's seat of like, you're in control of your life, your attention, your goals. Stuff isn't happening to you. You have a choice and you have the power and ability to really shape your world and shape your reality and shape what you're giving your attention to, because that's yeah. that's our life, right?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much, Mensa. I think you know, whether people, I would love for people to experience and explore Today Well Spent and your tool. I know I use it. So yeah, how can people find you or connect with you?
If people are interested in learning more about our intention intelligence system, they can follow us on Instagram. We started doing TikTok too. It's both at Today Well Spent. Funny thing about TikTok is sometimes I just think my work is so ironic. Because we're trying to get people off as much as possible. But I do think, like, for people who are already spending time on social media, they have to be there anyway. Might as well give them something meaningful that they can assume, and hopefully funny, so they like it too. So that's something right. that we're trying to figure out. If you're interested in following our journey, you can check us out there. You can shop the journal on todaywellspent.com. We ship worldwide, except for, I guess, very few not easily reachable countries. We also just set up a warehouse in America, so shipping will be much easier. Yeah, that's Today Well Spent.
Oh, amazing. And it was a day or morning well spent with you. So thank you so thank much, you. Mensa, for your time and sharing a little bit more about what you do, but also just raising that awareness around, you know, how we can improve our wellness using different tools.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kylie.